of his people. God wants to hear our praises. I thank God for the young people, and I thank God for all the adults that come out on Tuesdays and Thursdays and work with the young people. Cindy spearheads everything, but I know I've come out here and I've seen Brother Elmer out here, and I know Deacon Jeremy and Sister Vaughn are here, and Sharon's been here, and it's good to see the adults support the young folks. That's what it takes. We need to be a part of these young people's lives.
Amen.
They need to see us involved. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's turn to 1 Peter.
Amen.
Amen. We work our way through the book of Peter. A fascinating book. Right? Somebody said, that's fascinating for you. You've been in for 18 weeks. Well, we're going to continue because God has put it on my heart to preach through the book of 1 Peter, and we're going to do what God has asked us to do. I wouldn't have any reason to go to God and ask Him for anything else, because He would be like, we tell our children, you didn't do what I told you to do the first time, why are you asking me now? So we look at it like that. I look at it like that. So 1 Peter, we're going to finish off chapter 2 today. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Chapter 2. Let's start at verse number 19. Let's start at verse number 19.
Amen.
1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. And Peter says this, "For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffer wrongfully, for what glory is it, if when he be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently. But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God.
Amen.
For even hereunto were you called." Amen. Because Christ also suffered for us,
Amen.
Leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Who did no sin. Amen. Neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Amen. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree.
Amen.
That we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. For you were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls.
Amen.
Father God, thank you for the word of God. And the last verse, Father God, speaks to us. We were like sheep gone astray, dead in our trespasses and sins, could care less about the things of God, but you quickened us and gave us the desire in our heart and to want to come back home to you. We were just as prodigal as the prodigal son. Well, you gave us the strength to come to our senses, Father God, and we thank you. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the people of God. Thank you for the children of God. Thank you, Father God, for their praise and their worship this morning. And we ask that you would give them now, Father God, give them attentive ears.
Yes, Lord.
They can know what they're singing and know what it means to praise the Lord because of what he has done.
Jesus.
And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, I say that. And I say that because a lot of us, we take it almost for granted what Christ has done.
Yeah.
And we say, well, he died for our sins. And it's more to it than that.
Yes, sir.
And we say he suffered on the tree. It's more to it than that.
Uh-huh.
More went into that suffering than the surface, than on the surface. Let's delve deep into it a little bit today and really start to find out what is meant for all of this. Because Peter preached the gospel.
Yeah.
Amen.
And I hear people pray and they say, well, this church preaches the gospel. When you preach the word of God, you're going to preach the gospel.
Amen.
You don't have to get outside of it. You go right down the text. And the gospel is found in just about every verse. We find today in verse 19, again, the people of God have been called many things up until this point. We've covered 1 Peter chapter 1 and 2, and 1 Peter chapter 1, they're called pilgrims.
Amen.
People of God that were dispersed. They were on the run. They were under Nero's reign. Rome had been burned down. Nero needed an excuse. He blamed it on the Christians, and the Christians were on the move. Some of them had been captured and put into slavery. Some of them had lost everything. A servant back then could be someone that was reputable, someone who had a wonderful job. They didn't have chapter 11 and chapter 13 back then. So if you owe me, or if I owed you and I couldn't pay you, you became my property.
Amen.
You could be a doctor, a lawyer, you could be a big shot, and you run out of money.
Oh, yeah.
So you didn't go to jail, or you didn't file bankruptcy. You became, that's right, Deacon Nate Pearson, you worked it off. Amen. And some of the debt took a long time to work out. So he's talking to these folks today. Again, they've been called pilgrims. They were called living stones. They were called the chosen generation in chapter 2, verse 9. Also in verse 2, verse 9, they were called royal priesthood. How about that? Think about the names. Peter's calling them. He's going to get to the last one. This doesn't seem like it fits. Because the last one they're called are bond servants. A bond servant was as low as you could go. You had the job of washing feet as people came through the door. Imagine that. You're a big shot. You lose your job. You lose your ability to make money, and now you become a bond servant. How about that? Royal priesthood, a holy nation. And then and also all in chapter 2, verse 9. A holy nation, a royal priesthood, and a special people. You know what? If you live like that, in a fallen world like we live in today, you definitely will be persecuted.
Amen.
You definitely will be persecuted. Amen. And this is where Peter's going with this, because people were being persecuted. And again, I titled the series The Doctrine of Encouragement, because these people need encouragement. Some of you in here, some of us, I don't want to say you, because Peter don't say you a whole lot, he say us.
Right.
Some of us need encouragement today.
Amen.
Going through some things. Mm-hmm. Got stuff on our mind. Got too much on our plate.
Yeah.
Don't have enough on our plate. The Bible says, I don't mind in the devil's workshop.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Some of us aren't doing enough. We've got too much time on our hands. Look what he says. He said, for this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief. And he says conscience toward God. He's conscious constantly of the things of God.
Mm-hmm.
You live in this way. Okay? When you come out to choir rehearsal, you come out to Bible study, you go to the grocery store, you go to your job, wherever you are at, you're conscious of the things of God.
Amen.
Paul puts it like this. He says, in all I eat, drink, and do, I do through the glory of God. You have a God consciousness.
Amen.
Okay? Some folks call it a Christian worldview. We take everything and we base everything that's going on in our world toward what we believe about the Word of God.
Amen.
And we line up things. You know, we say, well, God spoke to me. God spoke to me in a dream. Or God spoke to me in a vision. I believe God still does that.
Mm-hmm.
I got a highlighter next to my bed and a pencil and an ink pen. Sometimes I'll be sleeping. Something comes to my mind. I'll get up and write it down.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Some days I go to bed with the highlighter. I wake up and the whole bed is whatever color the highlighter is, you know. So I fell asleep on it. But God still speaks to his people.
Amen.
I don't believe we're getting revelation knowledge. I'm not saying that.
Amen.
You know, that God speaks audibly and you walk down the street and it says, Deacon Oliver, is that you, Lord? No. I'm not saying that. Probably got pepperoni roll that you bought for Ray. But understand what Peter's saying here, because he's trying to encourage these people.
Uh-huh.
Some of you are going to go through.
Yes.
You know, we say, for God, that happened over there in Malaysia when the airplane went down. They're going to start going down in America.
Amen.
Okay? They're going to start going down in America, and it's not going to be too long. It's not going to be too long. You're going to be sitting in Taco Bell, and Arby's might blow up. You're going to deal with that. How are you going to deal with that phone call? See, we find out what's in us when adversity comes.
Amen.
And you need to be ready for adversity. Well, you can't prepare on the day it happens.
Amen.
Okay, adversity reveals who you are. How you deal with it. This is what Peter's saying here in verse 20. In verse 19. He said, it's thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief and suffer wrongfully. Okay? You read Matthew, you read the Beatitudes. You do them all. Blessed is those that hunger and thirst. Blessed is the peacemaker. You do all that, and when you get to the last two, it says, blessed are those who are persecuted. Because if you go around here doing what's right and living a godly life, a righteous life, and living out your faith in a fallen world, you're gonna get persecuted. And Peter's saying, nothing. What's happening to you is not uncommon. What's happening to you is supposed to happen. See, we don't hear this anymore. Because all the messages we hear is filled with messages.
Mm-hmm.
But you need this.
Amen.
You need this. You need to be ready for that evil day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You harken, I'm just going down the text. Look at verse 19 again. Verse 20. He says, for what glory is it when you be buffeted for your fault? Mm. You do what's wrong. You know what you're supposed to get.
Amen.
Okay? You know what's wrong. You get caught doing what's wrong, you go on punishment.
Amen.
Okay? You know, my boys are hooked on the Wi-Fi, so now, you know, they want to act crazy. Uh-huh. Turn off the Wi-Fi.
Amen.
That's working for me right now.
Right.
So they come out with devices that don't need Wi-Fi, then I have to come up with something else.
Amen.
They already have it. Don't tell my kids that. Listen, for what glory is it when you be buffeted for your faults? You shall take it patiently.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't that what the thief on the cross said? Uh-huh. He said, we indeed forget what we deserve.
Amen.
Okay? That's what Peter's saying here. And then he says, But when you do well, and suffer for it. How you handle that? How you handle that? There's many scriptures that you should have in your arsenal for situations like that.
Amen.
2 Timothy 3:12 comes to mind. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
Yes, sir.
Okay? Blessed are those who are persecuted. You know, there's scriptures that you need to know when you're going through for what seems like you're doing the right thing. I'm doing what's right, and I'm going through. How you handle that? The dying world wants to know.
Mm-hmm.
They're watching you. They want to know how you handle the adversity. I talked to Sylvia about that this morning. How you handle the adversity, Sylvia? How you handle it? Because your children are watching you. Your grandchildren are watching you. How you get through all this? I'm leaning.
Yes, sir.
On the Lord.
Uh-huh. Amen.
The Lord is the strength of my life.
Yeah.
Huh. We watch people going through. The shelf going through, watching their mother go through.
Amen.
How you handle that? Praise the Lord anyway.
Amen.
God's been good to me.
Yes, sir. Amen.
My mother's been with me 93 years. Whatever. In the 90s, I thank God for them. Look at verse number 20 one more time. It said, but when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Why is that acceptable with God? Because that was God's example. That's what Peter's going with this. That was God's example.
Amen.
We call ourselves Christians. And we say we love the Word of God, and we call ourselves Christians, but everybody in the Word of God who preached the Bible, the author of the Bible, died on a cross. All his apostles were martyred, save John. And it was only by the grace of God that John wasn't consumed in the island of Patmos. But everybody who, Peter, he's writing this. He's got talking about from the perspective of what he don't know.
Amen.
Tradition has it that Peter's wife was crucified right in front of him. Was crucified right in front of him, and he walked over to her and told her, just trust in the Lord. So he's not talking about a subject he doesn't know about.
Amen.
And then when his turn came to be crucified, which he knew, he said, I'm not even worthy to be crucified like my Lord. Crucify me upside down.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not talking about somebody who's just talking. Okay? Peter's talking about somebody. No, he wants the Lord. He wants the Lord. He's talking from an eyewitness perspective.
Mm.
Look what he says in verse 21. He says, for even hereunto were you called. You were called. If you're here and you're a child of God, you've accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you understand the gospel message, you know that you are going to suffer. So we don't even know nothing about suffering in the church today. We don't know nothing about suffering. See?
Come on.
Nobody's suffering. Our young people aren't suffering. They want to be the prom queen.
Amen.
Homecoming queen.
No.
Or the homecoming king. Mr. or Mrs. Congeniality. And the only reason they can be that and be a Christian because they have not decided to take a stand. They won't take a stand and everybody likes you. Spend a day with me.
Oh yeah.
There was a year 2000 had an incident at Columbine High School. Some of you remember it, where the young man came in and killed all the people. One young girl, 17-year-old, her name was Cassie Bernard, and she was in the library at the time. She had heard all the commotion. She went to the library and she was praying and studying her word, and the killers came in and asked her in front of some people, do you believe in God? Think about that, young people.
Yeah.
Had a rifle to her head. What'd you have said? What'd you say?
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. She said, yeah. She said, yes. He said, why? She didn't get a chance to answer. Blew her brains out. It ain't easy serving the Lord.
Amen. Yeah.
I ask the question, if I came to your school and would your classmates even know you're a Christian? Would they know you've been baptized? Keelan, would your classmates know? Ray? Anybody else been baptized? Are you a model of Christianity on your job? Interesting question. Why? Peter in verse 21. He said, Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. How about that? Christ is our example. Christ is an example of suffering. Turn to Mark 15. Isn't that a fascinating verse? We talk about Jesus suffering, and there's so many scriptures that support his suffering. I think it's over 60 scriptures just explain Christ's suffering. But I like the book of Mark. We've been studying Mark on Wednesday night. And I look at Mark 15, and physical suffering, spiritual suffering. Think about what was going on in Mark 15. Jesus was being tried, suffering. Verse number 7 of Mark 15 talks about the rabbis. People hated him. These were religious rulers of that day. Pilate had found Jesus not guilty. He said, this man had not sinned. He had done no wrong. Pilate's wife even chimed in saying, I have nothing to do with that just man. And there was one named Barabbas, verse 7, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with them, with him who had committed murder in the insurrection.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How about that? How about that? Right. How about your peers? You living a good life. You haven't done anything worthy of even being pulled over by the cops. And these are your peers. These are the religious rulers of that day. And it says, and the multitude, verse 8, and the multitude, crying out loud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, will ye that I release unto you the king of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. How about that? That's suffering there.
Amen.
You ever had somebody envious of you for no reason at all?
Oh, yeah.
But the chief priest moved the people. Moved them in the wrong way.
Yeah.
Moved them to their position. Moved them to their murderous thoughts. You got to be careful who you allow to move you.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be careful. You be around some folks and they try to move you. Get you away from doing what you know is right. But the chief priests moved the people that they should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said unto them, what will ye then that I should do unto him whom ye call the King of the Jews? Talking about suffering here. And they cried out aloud again, crucify him. How about that? Saved folks. Religious folks. The religious rulers of that day. That knew who you were. That knew that you were the King of the Jews. That you came to die for their sins. Maybe they didn't know that. I don't know. Don't sound like they knew that. Maybe they thought they didn't have any sins to die for. I'm going to leave that one alone. Then Pilate, verse 14, look at this. Then Pilate said unto them, why? How about this? This is a godless man. This is a godless man. This is a godless leader. And he has enough sense to know that this man has done nothing. Look at Pilate's answer in verse 14. And Pilate said unto them, why? What evil have he done?
Yeah.
He was sinless. He was without sin. Amen. And they cried out more exceedingly, crucify him. And so Pilate, willing to contend the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. That's not it. Watch the mocking. Watch the evil suffering that Jesus took. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called the Praetorium. And they called together the whole band. Godless soldiers, Roman soldiers, godless soldiers, trained killers. The whole band, I mean, these were the ones that were going to be assigned to crucify them. They were going to be in charge of making sure that everything was done. This is what they did. They were killers. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called the Praetorium, and they called all together the whole band, and they clothed him with purple. They stripped him naked and clothed him with purple. Purple was a sign of royalty. And they were mockingly doing this, mocking him. And then they platted a crown of thorns and put it about his head. Crown of thorns, he was basically nails. You know, young people, these were probably nails, probably that long. And they slammed it on his head, mockingly. This is why we say every praise is to our God.
Yeah.
Every word of what?
Worship.
Because if he didn't go through this, we would have the ability or opportunity to have our sins forgiven, and then we would die in our sins. And then when we die in our sins, we go into the L-O-F. For those who didn't know. As the one, let me just say, if you don't know, now you know. Okay, and they clothed him a purple platter, they crowned the thorns and put it about his head, talking about suffering. And believe me, folks, if you living for the Lord, you're going to suffer.
Amen.
Every servant of God suffers. We are in the suffering business. You better believe that. Listen, not only that, and not only put the thorns on their head, they put it on their head, and they begin to salute him mockingly. Hail, King of the Jews. And then this is what they did. And they smote him on the head with a reed, long stick, just slapped him, and then spit upon him. Anybody not get spit on?
No.
They spit on him. They spit on the Lord. They spit on our Savior. Talking about the suffering. And bound their knees, worship him. Oh, let me tell you something. They bound their knees now. They bound their knees now. They're not bound in a mocking worship. They're worshiping in hell. You know, hell is full of worshipers.
Yeah.
Hell is full of worshipers. Because see, when you get to hell, you realize that God is real and Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
We'll find out. I'd rather receive him on this side.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And when they had mocked him and took off the purple from him and put his clothes on, they led him out to crucify him. We talk about the suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, that's our motto. And for the man or woman of God who really understands Christianity, you understand what it means to be a Christian, you understand that you are in the suffering business. Paul understood it real well. Paul delighted in the fact that he called to suffer for God. I look at Acts 5:41. Paul puts it like this, or Peter. He says, that I may know him, that I may have this intimate relationship with him. You're not going to have an intimate relationship with the Lord without knowing the God of his Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I know this may, we may be ancient. We may be ancient here at Christian Bible Baptist Church. I heard preachers call it archaic.
Mm-hmm.
But we are called to preach the gospel. The only power you're ever going to get is the power to come from the Word of God being preached into your soul.
Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Paul puts it like this in Acts 5:41. I believe this may be Peter. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. How about that? Philippians 3:10. I like this one too. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. How you doing? How you doing with this? How's your witness? How's your praise? How's your praise today? Think about this. In Acts, when the believers in Acts received the Holy Ghost, Jesus said, when you receive the Holy Ghost, rather say, when you receive the Holy Ghost, you receive power. Power to do what? Acts 1:8. Power to be a witness. You know, our world needs a witness.
Amen.
We look around and we watch folks just dying and going to hell. We don't even care. We laugh and joke. Folks dying and going to hell. And you know they're dying and going to hell. But we too cowardly. We don't want to say nothing. We don't want to suffer. We don't want to be persecuted. So we allow our loved ones to just do whatever. And we don't want to get in the way because we want to be miscongeniality. We want everybody to like us. You're in the wrong business.
Amen.
Oh Lord, this dude. Oh, he's preaching these fire and brimstone stuff. It's just the truth. It's just the truth, and I get it first. It's just the truth. The Lord suffered, and all who desire to live godly in Christ will suffer. All of us are going to suffer if we love the Lord. Look at Nehemiah. We went through Nehemiah. We went through it in pretty detail. In Nehemiah chapter 4, I want to talk about everybody that God ever used to suffer.
Nehemiah, they built a wall of a temple, doing a great work for the Lord. And in chapter 1, of verse number 1 of chapter 4 says, but when Sanballat, the Horonite, and Tobiah, the servant of the Ammonite, and Geshem, the Arabian, heard that they laughed us to scorn and despised us. You know, you'll be laughed at.
Oh, yeah.
Some of you get laughed at coming to a church like this.
Amen.
Boy, man, y'all ain't one musician. We have a good time in our church. And it's a celebration. We have a great time. And y'all over there listening to that dead, dry preaching. Listen, look what he says. And they despised us for doing a great work. They were building a temple. They were building a wall, and they were despised us and said, what is this thing that you do? Will you rebel against the king? Then answered I them, and I said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will rise and build, but ye have no portion, no right, no memorial in Jerusalem. Remember Joel? God used Joel Satan to show Satan that there was a righteous man in the land that wouldn't turn his back on him. But in Job chapter 30, Job had to deal with some young people.
Mm-hmm.
Job 31 says, but now they that are younger than I have me in derision.
Mm-hmm.
That word derision we have, they have me in contempt. They just mocking me. Young people mocking men of Job's caliber. But Job was going through. Look what Job says. Whose fathers I would have disdained to have set with the dogs of my flock.
Mm.
These were the worst of the worst. Mocking the man of God. Let me tell you something. Man of God, woman of God, will be mocked. Remember the day of Pentecost. Day of Pentecost. Great, one of the greatest days ever. The word of God has been delivered to all the world. People from all the nations have come to hear the word of God spoken in their own language, their own tongues. Disciples had got up and had delivered a message that was going to carry out throughout the whole world.
Amen.
You know what they said? These dudes is drunk. These dudes is drunk. Acts 2:13. Others mocked said these men are full of new wine.
Yeah.
They couldn't even wait for it to ferment. That's amazing stuff.
Yeah.
David, a man after God's own heart. Oh, I love David. You have to. You have to love David. David's a man after God's own heart. I said last week, I was glad God didn't say Daniel was a man after God's own heart, because we would have hoped this, because Daniel, there's nothing in the Word of God say anything negative about Daniel. He used David because David knew how to get to God. But David was on the run. He had committed sin and God had him on the move. He was still king, though. He was still king. And in Samuel, 2 Samuel 2 and 16, David was on the move. He had his mighty men next to him. And I'm paraphrasing. He had his mighty men on the right and the left. And there came one, there came one cursing David.
Mm-hmm.
Cursing David. Getting at David, cursing him. And his mighty men said, want to cut his head off, David? David said, no. Maybe God sent him here to curse me. You ever thought about it like that? You got something coming. You got something coming. In fact, 1 Peter talk about those being used by God will suffer. That's for sure. Look at verse 22. Here's our Lord who did no sin. You guys know what that means? He never committed a sin.
Amen.
He was sinless. He did no sin. Neither was guile found in his mouth. He never even retaliated. He never went back at someone. Someone would say something unkind to the Lord. And again, Peter was an eyewitness. He knew the Lord intimately. And he knew how God was in the person of Jesus Christ. He never retaliated. He never used deceit. You know, you talk to some people on your job, and some of your supervisors in here, you talk to some young people or some people on the job, they don't have to be young, and they're all about deceit. They're always trying to wiggle their way out of something. They're always trying to make an excuse why they're doing this or not doing something. Our Christ wasn't like that. He was without deceit. He never came back at people. And again, verse 23, he was reviled. That word reviled means they just piled it on and piled it on. Anybody ever been there? You ever been there?
Yeah.
Just piled it on. Accusation after accusation. Mocking and mocking and piled it on. Piled it on. You know what he did? He never reviled back.
Amen.
Let me tell you something now. I don't want y'all to think I'm talking about a milquetoast God. I say this all the time. Jesus wasn't soft. He just was right all the time. He was just right all the time. He never had to say anything negative. He just used the word of God because he truly was the word of God. But when you look at God and some of the things he said, I could look at Matthew 26. You don't think we talk about a soft God. We did this last week. Matthew 26 talks about some more suffering. Matthew 23. We talked about this a little bit on Wednesday night. Jesus wasn't no pushover. He never said anything wrong, but he always defended himself. Look at verse number 17. We can go back to 16. He had to deal with people, just like you will. He called them blind guides. Then in verse 17, he called them fools and blind. Peter said he never reviled back. So what's going on? He called the fools and blind. He said, whether it is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctified gold. Verse 19, he calls them fools. Verse 23, he calls them hypocrites. So we're not sitting here saying, you young people, you got to just take it and not defend yourself. But we want you to know you're going to be in a battle.
Amen.
And you're going to be in a battle until the day you leave here.
Yes.
These are fighting words. And again, we see in verse 23 again, he's talking about he reviled not again, but when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judged righteously. You know what that means? He didn't die.
Amen.
They didn't kill him. He committed himself to the God who judged righteously, and that would be the person of Jesus Christ saying, it's finished. I think we talked about the seventh day of the cross. It's finished.
Amen.
And he gave up the ghost. He gave it up. They didn't take it from him. He gave it up. He gave it up. He had power to the end. Who his own self bear our sins and his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. That's an interesting verse, 24. Let's talk about who we were versus who God is. He bore our sins. Before we were saved, we were caught up. We were serving sin. We were dead to sin. We were spiritually dead. Ephesians 2 and 1 talks about it. It says we were dead in sins and trespasses. We walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in our disobedient children. If you got disobedient children here, understand one thing. And whether they sing in a choir and come to church every Sunday, they are the power of the evil one. And they can come to church every Sunday.
Amen.
And be under the power of the evil one. What does Christ do? He bore our sins on the cross. He made a way where we would not have to die in our sins by taking those stripes, by dying and being mocked and humiliated. When you hear these kids talk about praises to our God, we have a right to praise him for what he did on Calvary's cross. Verse 24 says, by whose stripes you are healed. A lot of folks take that to mean physical healing. It's not what it means.
Amen.
That goes right back to Ephesians 2. We were spiritually dead.
Amen.
And by his stripes we are healed. We are healed from the physical disease, the spiritual disease rather, of sin. Not that God doesn't still heal. He still heals. But that scripture, don't take it out of context. That's not what it means. It means we were healed from sin.
Amen.
We were healed from sin. These bodies were healed. They were delivered from sin. Amen. Verse 24 again. Being dead to sins, we should live unto righteousness. That's only possible. That is only possible through Jesus Christ. That is not possible any other way. You cannot will yourself to live a righteous life. You cannot make a decision to turn and get your life together. You will not be able to do it. You only be able to do that through what Christ has done.
Amen.
Understanding that those stripes led to his death. He was scourged. He was crucified. He died for our sins so that we could live righteous lives.
Amen.
So that we would have that interest into heaven.
Amen.
For you are as sheep going astray. Verse 25 said we were as sheep going astray.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us remember that. Some of us act like we don't. And some of us are just as lost as can be.
Mm-hmm.
And God quickened us and turned us around. But you know, as I close, I want to share this thing. And again, I want to talk about the cost. And I know we've been in Mark chapter 10. And a lot of times when you study Mark, once you study on Wednesday, it'll pour over into your Sunday service. But there was a cost that the rich young ruler wasn't willing to pay.
Amen.
Okay, he understood the terms. He was not stupid. He understood what Jesus was saying. He understood that all that would be used of God would have to pay a cost. He didn't want to pay that cost.
Amen.
He said it was too much. And the Bible said he went away sad.
Amen.
Because he had a lot of stuff. And some of us in here got a lot of stuff. And some of us in here know what it's going to cost. We say, okay, I'm going to give my life to the Lord. Maybe here right now, you say, you know what? I'm going to give my life to the Lord. I want to be saved. I want to be saved. But it's going to cost you.
Mm-hmm.
And what you have to do is say, well, am I willing to pay the cost? Mm-hmm. See, a lot of, like I said, a lot of ministries would have took the rich young ruler and said, come on in, you saved.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, go sell all you have.
Amen.
You come and follow me. It's going to cost you something.
That's right.
And we want to cost free Christianity. We just want to come to church, have a good time, go home, and do our thing. And we don't want to be confronted. We don't want any conflicts when we come to church. This is a confrontational place. You ought not be comfortable here, living any kind of way.
Amen.
We don't like to hear that because a lot of people don't want to hear it. So preachers don't say it.
Amen.
Church is a place for saved folks. Saved folks have a desire to hear the word of God. Nicodemus understood the cost. I say Nicodemus because we remember Nicodemus in John chapter 3 came to the Lord at night. He knew what he was looking for. He tried to play. He knew exactly what he was doing. He knew that he was a sinner. He knew that he needed the change. And he came to God at night. It says there was a man of the Pharisee named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night. He said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher that come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou do except God be with him.
Amen.
Jesus didn't answer that. He answered it for the rich young ruler. He said, there's none good but one, that is God. But for Nicodemus, he went right to the chase. He cut the chase with right to the answer. Jesus answered, said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking to somebody here today.
Amen.
You need to be born again. What's that mean?
Amen.
You need to start over. You need to start over. You need to erase that hard drive. You need to reformat it in computer language. You need to format it. You need to erase it all. That's what he's telling Nicodemus. Now, he's talking to a ruler. He's talking about probably the wealthiest man in that town. He was a religious ruler. He was the chief teacher of that day. And God's telling him in the person of Jesus Christ, you need to be born again. How do you think that went over? You need to put all your little degrees up, all your old teaching, all that you learned, and start scratch with me.
Nicodemus in verse number 4 said, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Some of us need to start over.
Amen.
Some of us need to start over. We got too much stuff. And we need to start over. And we need to understand it's going to cost. You go to John 7, you see Nicodemus again.
Mm-hmm.
He's believing. Nicodemus is believing on the Lord in John 7. And then in John 19, you see Nicodemus showing up at night again with Joseph of Arimathea with 100 pounds. Perfumes and alloys.
Amen.
And everybody knew. And there was a law back in that day that if you accepted Jesus Christ, if you accepted the truth about Jesus Christ, you was put out of the synagogue. He would have lost his big time job and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Tradition said he died a poor man. Tradition said he died a poor man because of what he believed.
Amen.
Now, I'm not saying that we're going to have to be poor and destitute for following the Lord, but it's going to cost you.
Amen.
It's going to cost you. It may cost you a relationship. It may cost you a friendship.
Yeah.
It may cost you a family member too.
Amen.
Blood thicker than mud.
Amen.
Your accepting Jesus Christ and living righteously may save a family member or two. How about that? You ever thought about it like that?
Amen.
You ever thought about your public confession and your attorney and it may cause a loved one to give their life to the Lord?
Amen.
How about a couple of classmates? How about if you're on a football team and you're living out your faith and three or four of those members of the football team receive Christ because of your testimony? Because of you walking in purity and holiness. See, we don't have that today, and we wonder why a girl's gone wild. Because nobody want to talk about Jesus. And nobody want to lift Jesus up. And we sort of like chameleons. We just blend right in. And nobody knows who the Christians are. And folks in this world looking for light, but nobody can see it. Because we just look like the world. We just blend in. I believe we ought to stand out like a sore thumb.
Amen.
The Word of God says we ought to light up the world. And you know what? We ought to shine. In the dark, we ought to shine. And we're in a room full of unsaved folks, they ought to be able to identify you right away.
Amen.
Right away.
Amen.
Without you even saying anything.
Amen.
The Bible said we're the salt of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Purifying agent. When you come into the room, it ought to stop rotting. It ought to stop rotting. The whole environment ought to change. This is why when one person would get saved, when Lydia got saved, her Bible said her whole household was saved. Because she became salt. She had a purifying effect on that whole environment. We don't see this anymore.
Amen.
And we wonder why the church is just an entertainment place. When a preacher called Sanctified Nightclub. Because we got to make everybody happy or they won't come back.
Right.
Keep them happy, they keep coming.
Mm-hmm.
Keep them coming, they keep giving. People need the truth.
Amen.
I hope you receive the truth today.
Amen.
All right.
I don't aim to be exciting and anything like that. And I'm going to keep my day job.
Amen.
Because one day you guys may want an exciting preacher. And that's fine, you know. But we need to Word of God in our hearts and in our soul. When we go out into this world, when that evil day comes, we'll have something to defend ourselves with.
Amen.
Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the people of God. Thank you for their attentiveness. We pray for some lost soul. Some lost soul who may have been sinning. Every praises to our Lord. Some lost soul who may have been praying today. Some lost soul who just may have walked into this church for the first or second time. Say, well, you know, The last church I went to, there was a lot of excitement going on. And I hope that person wrote down some scriptures. I hope that person understands when they come to the Lord, it's not going to be a piece of cake, not going to be fun and games. We pray for those 286 or 96 folks shot out of the air.
Amen.
Amen. We pray for these babies, Father God, and we pray for these mothers. These single mothers and grandmothers who are raising these children. That they would teach them that the Word of God is serious business and that it will be a great part of their lives.